Your time is now. Let's make this moment last.
Welcome to the 24-25 season of the Keeping Up Appearances podcast. Before you listen to this episode, please head over to our social medias and hit that follow button. You can find us on X at Keeping Up Apps and on TikTok and Instagram at Keeping Up Apps Pod. Please also hit that subscribe button on YouTube where we are at Keeping Up Appearances. I've always wanted to say that. Welcome to this week's episode of the Keeping Up Appearances podcast. Thank you for tuning in. We have a great episode lined up for you guys today. Again, just the usual four. We have Bob opening up with his Leon Osmond's House of Games. We do have a very apt Maroon 5 this week with, well, social media news breaking this afternoon. Hello, Mr. Coot. And we do have a great game of KUA, obviously, planned towards the end. So without further ado, and before we open out to M5, see what that's all about, I'll hand over to Bob, who has prepared a very special episode of Leon Osmond's House of Games. Bob, what are we doing today?
So we're going for another different round of Leon Osmond's House of Games today, and it's in a way linked to, or kind of linked to, Coudert's Wind. So the round is going to be, I can't even remember the name of the round now. What did I say?
Rich List.
Rich List. So I'm going to ask a question, and there are going to be multiple potential answers. Each of the lads have to give a unique answer, so there'll be a point if you're correct and the answer is unique. Does that make sense?
Yep.
No points if anyone shares the answer, and the curveball is that I will also give an answer as well, even though I know them all, just to see if I can catch you out, because for some of them, I'm guessing who you're going to go for to try and deprive her of a point. Good to go?
Yep.
So the first question is, can you give me the name of a Ballon d'Or winner of the 21st century? So it has to be... There is a surprising number of answers, but you've got to give me one that nobody else is going to say.
Sorry, Bob, can I just ask? You're not, like, I'll trust you, but you're not going to change. You've got your answer already set.
I don't believe him. I
don't know how to prove this without sharing my screen, but I swear on Leighton Baines' life, I'm being honest here.
That means a lot.
I've got it written down now, and I'm going to write your answers down. So, yeah, trust me. Okay, got them all in. So I'll go from who I can see on my screen, or go in screen order. So Sean, who did you go for?
I went for someone who I believe won this around 2003, 2004. I went for Andrei Shevchenko.
Correct. Cal?
I'll be honest, I'm not even 100% sure he won it. But I think he almost definitely did. But I'll go early 2000s, I think it would have been Zidane.
Ooh, not on my list.
Yep.
I don't think he won it, no. He won it in the late 2000s, I think. Late 90s, sorry.
Late 90s.
Incorrect from Cal.
I actually think on the show they often go the obvious one because they don't expect people to go. So I was toying with that, but I didn't. I went for who I believe won it in 2006, Fabio Cannavaro.
Correct from Tosh. So two unique answers there. Cal with an incorrect one, and I was going to try and guess what I thought Cal would have gone for and said Kaká myself.
I was going to say Kaká, but I thought Callum would say Kaká. I thought Callum would have gone Kaká as well, Bob.
I thought Bob on the was same going to think I was going to go Kaká. I went to Dan and got wrong in it.
Going to go end up with about quadruple bluff here. So next question, football clubs represented by Jason Kumas.
No.
So for some of the questions, there are a few potential answers then. Some of them have fewer.
The Island 11 count or... Go on, I guess with that. And hope.
I don't think that's right there based on his face.
I don't think it is.
I shouldn't let my face give the answers away there.
We need poker face here, Bob. Come on.
Okay, sorry. Or I'll go off camera.
Are we same order again? Are we same order for revealing, yeah?
Yeah, might as well. Sean?
So I think I only know three clubs he played for, but I went for probably the least obvious out of the others, and I've gone for Cardiff.
Correct. Cal?
I wasn't sure. I had the two obvious ones and then sort of went to go for a curveball. I thought possibly he might have came through here or I made an early appearance for Liverpool, made one or two appearances for Liverpool if that's where he came through. So that was my guess to go with Liverpool. But
if you saw my face, incorrect.
He was in their academy though, wasn't he?
I don't think you understand the game, Callum.
He came through in their academy and then went to Tranmere. Point to try and get the unique one, isn't it? Do you know why he's taking a risk?
Yeah. He's got two wrong answers.
Tosh.
Yeah, why would you don't know that that's the case? Yeah. Like, I've gone Tranmere on the back of, I thought everyone would try and be difficult and go for more obvious. And I might backfire because Bob might go Tranmere. Double bluff for me, but...
Yeah, I should have just went messy for the first one as well. But
that's what I said, you should have. That's the game. That's literally a game, you say.
It's meant to go for unique, isn't it? That's not the point.
Yeah, but it's
no, because that's what happens is people will go for the, like Sean says, he knew three, he went for the least obvious. So in a lot of the time, just get one right because people might not go for the obvious one. It's better to be right and obvious than wrong, innit?
Correct.
Yeah, correct. Who did you go for?
Tranmere, sorry. I did say that, sorry.
I went for West Brom. So another point for Sean and Tosh.
Who else did he play for? I know Wigan. Who else?
I forgot Wigan. I knew West Brom, Tranmere, and Cardiff were the three that I knew.
Yeah, so only four options.
Oh, sweet.
Next question. La Liga winners in the 21st century. There aren't many answers here.
I don't know how to play this.
I know, this is a tough one, this. These are good questions, these.
Right, I'm going for...
I had a productive day in the office today, what can I say?
My problem is that there's a risky one, but I don't know if they won it in the 21st. What year?
I'm counting the 99 to 2000 season, so they won the league in the calendar year 2000.
That means it makes me think the answer I'm thinking is right. But also makes me think, I wonder if you'd have gone for it. I'm going to risk. I'm going to play a Callum.
Even though he just shouted at me for doing that.
I've got 2 points in the bank. And... go on, I'll go for it. To be honest, I'm not even sure they won it, but...
So
now,
sure.
But I've now told you the obvious route, so you'll have obviously gone the obvious route this time, I reckon.
Sean?
Oh, sorry. So I've gone for a team I think won it just before their manager moved over to England. I've gone for Valencia.
Yeah.
Cal?
I was thinking of them also, but then went obvious route and went Barcelona.
Cal is off the mark.
Unless I've said it.
Tosh.
Well, I might just say it now, just...
Sorry.
Yeah, I think Bob half hinted to me I was correct. I think Deportivo won it very early 2000s, I was thinking, but I wasn't too sure. So I'm going to go Deportivo. I might still be wrong.
You are correct, Tosh, but that's who I put. So no point to Tosh.
You put that? Tosh.
Yeah, I swear to God.
Without knowing the list or just looking the list?
No, because I knew you'd say Deportivo.
Yeah, but that's not in the game. He does the plays the game properly. He doesn't look at the list and pick it. He does, yeah.
Well, this is Leon Osmond's, not Richard.
Yeah, it's a completely different game. So.
Leon Osmond's a big cheat.
Yeah, but I didn't know you were...
What we could do is, if Tosh sets the question and tell which one you need to go, Bob,
yeah,
tell me which one I need to go and Sean needs to go, then
don't you start jumping and just you had two terrible first guesses. I've just told you how to play it and got you a point.
Okay. Great.
Next question. Despite the programme's long-running status, there have only been five regular main presenters of Match of the Day. name one of them. I think you're going to struggle on this one.
I genuinely don't think I know more than one.
Definitely got a second, but I thought that would be the one that people would also guess. So I don't know. Now you've said that to go with the second one. I know who the main fella replaced. I'm going to risk it. I'm going to play Callum's game. I like Callum's tactics now.
I'm going to have to risk
it. I don't know if it's right.
I'm going to have to risk it based on the fact I don't know.
Maybe you should just go with the obvious one then, because no one else might go for that. Callum's going to say Bradley Walsh anyway, so...
I think it's just Tosh who's sent in so far.
Right, I'm going bold.
No one's sent in, there's some cheating going on here.
Okay, sure.
Right, I didn't want to go for the obvious one because I just assumed someone else would. So I've gone for somebody who I know was a presenter back then, generally a pundit on the footy. I don't know if they ever hosted, but I've gone for Jimmy Hill.
I think that's correct.
Do you?
That is correct, Sean.
Get in.
Cal?
I think this is the one who done it before. Gary Lineker is the main guy, I think. Des Lynam.
Yeah.
Correct. Tosh?
Well, I also knew both of them, and I thought someone would get Des Lynam, so I was right to avoid that. I thought Bob would go for Jimmy Hill, so I've took a risk. Well, if I thought all them, I probably should have just gone Gary Lineker, actually, so I've played it badly, but I've gone for Bob Wilson. I know he was on it all the time, but I don't know if he was sort of like the Alan Hansen type, so he never presented it, but he was certainly on it a lot, so I don't know if that's correct or not.
Incorrect, I'm afraid, Tosh.
Oh, wait, Dave, we don't know who Bob's gone.
I've gone for Des Lynam. So Sean is on fire.
Sean is smashing it, to be fair.
See again, Gary Lineker would have got you a point.
I know. Do you know what? I typed Jimmy Hill, then deleted it. Typed Gary Lineker, deleted it, and then went for Jimmy Hill. Because I don't know why, I just thought Callum.
Sean, you're not getting two points there, you know.
You what?
You're not getting 2 points for that, yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, but also, actually, I got slightly mixed up with Des Lynam because he did the Premiership on ITV as well, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's when Lineker took. Like, he went to ITV, and that's when he sort of took over. Like, he was always BBC. It was the I was trying to remember. Like, there's the people from the old days. Like, so, like, you had like Brian Moore, but I think he was ITV.
So you've got
commentator, no?
Yeah, but he like presented the big match, I think, as well. Yeah.
You've got Kenneth Walston Holm.
He's the one who does these people. Some people on the pitch, they think it's all over.
David Coleman, Jimmy Hill, Des Lynam, and Chris Shagger, Gary Lineker.
Yeah, David Coleman's like, he's the one, he did like Question of Sports and all things like that as well. It's annoying. Or did he, was he then?
So, next question. European teams to win a major treble. Emphasis on major there, so you can't have the shite.
Is there a year? Time frame, Bob, or?
Yeah, just 1999.
No, there isn't a time frame.
Can I ask Bob how many there are?
Eight.
I think I know five. I think I know five of them. Okay.
Not decent.
You saying you know five worries me, Sean. Someone will definitely go mine, so I'm going to go in.
That's a play that I think on what Bob would have thought.
Yeah, I think we all know what Bob's thinking for you.
I'm hopefully giving a poker face here. Sean?
I thought I knew quite a lot of them, but I didn't want to take a gamble, so I went for Bayern Munich.
Correct. Cal?
I thought you thought I was going to say Man City, so I didn't. So I went the other Manchester team, hoping that not everyone else would avoid it, went United.
Correct, Tosh.
I'm now starting to doubt mine, to be honest. I think I went Inter.
Correct again.
Was that 20 when they did that in 2010? Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that they were the first ones to root down. Yeah. And just, I was trying to think, did he definitely win the Cup? Obviously, only in the European Cup. Yeah.
I went for Celtic, thinking Tosh would go Celtic, so everyone gets a point there.
Right. You know, to be honest, I had five as well, and then I had like a couple that I wasn't too sure about, but I didn't have Celtic either, to be honest. I didn't know that. I'm not sure. I didn't know that was a treble.
67. Do you want another question?
Yeah, let's go one more.
Go on one more.
Okay. So, of Europe's top five leagues, I have a list of clubs that have never been relegated. These are teams that have played a minimum of 10 seasons in the top place of their current league system. And I'm throwing a curveball in here. You can't have the same answer as you did for the previous question.
Sorry, Bob. So is that ever, not just like in the current, like, so like just if you didn't say the Premier League, so just ever?
Yeah, like ever.
Never been relegated. So could have played in the second division, but never been relegated.
Yeah. Have you ever got 100% in a exam before, Sean?
Silly question. Obviously not.
He's got 100% in a couple of linkies.
Okay, I'll take it back then.
See, I was prepping through school when I was getting 15% on my biology A level. It was all for this.
I don't know. I think Bob's going to try and go the one I'm going to go.
I have mainly gone for answers that I think Tosh is going to go for.
Right, I'm changing it then.
I'm struggling here. I mean, I don't know why, because I can't lose. Who cares?
Yeah, but you want to go for that record?
I do. I know, I really do.
And if you get this wrong and I get it right, I'm counting as a draw, just to let you know.
But you might.
I'd say it's a victory.
I what was if I say which one I know Bob's going to go based on trying to get me out? Does that get me an extra point?
No.
No.
I'm gonna send it to you now, Bob, anyway, just to say what I think you would have gone. Have you already decided, yeah? Yeah. Oh, no, I'll tell you. You can tell
Bob,
me.
How many were there altogether?
Don't tell them.
9.
Oh, I can't go with that because I think something went wrong with them. I can't go.
Right. It's going to be my guess.
I know four or five defos.
Shall I go, Bob?
Sorry, yeah, I was just checking my list. Right. Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know. I'll be honest, I don't know any for certain. I've just kind of plucked a couple of big teams. Obviously, you're not allowed to go with the team you went for the last round. I was toying with the French team, but wasn't sure because I think they've had some issues. And I just went obvious. I might be wrong. I've gone for Real Madrid.
Correct.
Thanks,
Tosh.
Cal?
Sure, Sean. I was also thinking the big French team, but I just wasn't sure. So I went with what I think is an obvious one, but I'm probably wrong, but I'll go with AC Milan.
Incorrect. 1979-80 season, Milan got relegated for the first time in their history following a match.
I was going to say it was points deduction, wasn't it? He went down. But that was before Berlusconi took them over. Yeah, I knew that from Spain, that Real Madrid, Barca, and the one I thought Bob would go for was Athletic Club. I've never been relegated.
You know me very well, Tosh.
So the one I was asking lots of questions from, I know Arsenal were elected into the league. So spent some time in second division, and now I'm down. I wonder if they've been relegated before. I don't think Arsenal have certainly not been relegated since they've been back up. So I went with Arsenal.
Incorrect.
Nightmare.
I had to double check Arsenal and AC Milan because they weren't on my list, but they just sounded like they shouldn't have been. So no,
but they've been relegated before that.
No English team on the list. So Arsenal relegated only once in 1913.
That was a bit better than I just thought. They'd never been up, and then you were just always up.
Who did you go for, Bob?
Athletic Bilbao. Or Athletic
Come
Club.
On.
Hold on, Sean.
So Tosh wins.
And yeah, that was an absolute blinder by me there.
You played the game to perfection, to be fair. Kind of. A few weeks in a row, he wins these games. He's just an expert at Leon Osman's house again. You've got to give it to him.
So the full list. And there are varying lists to it, really. So that's why I was checking. So you've got Real Madrid, Barcelona, Athletic Bilbao, Bayer Leverkusen, Wolfsburg, Hoffenheim, FC Augsburg, Inter Milan, and PSG.
PSG? Oh, they were the team I was going to go.
They were the contentious ones because PSG was formed following two other clubs like splitting.
They've got something like 1970 on the badge or something. PSG, yeah, I wouldn't have known. The only ones that I I'd have known, apart from that, where I knew Real Madrid, Barcelona, oh, Athletic Club, I wouldn't have known any of those. So at least I'd have said Athletic Club and got that wrong anyway.
I missed a very obvious one there as well, Bayern Munich.
I was going to say them, yeah. That, you surprised me there. But again, their league only started in like the 60s, I think, the German one, professional.
So from the 65-66 season, they've never been relegated.
Fair play.
Right.
So I think we can consider Sean as the victor in that round of Leon Osmond's House of Games. Impeccable there, Sean.
He's done the KUA, whatever it's called, Days Wins, and this will double. It's quite a double, actually.
Wow. We're keeping up appearances last week as well.
No, yeah.
Change, oh, man. Fire. Do you win anything like a travel case or anything, or a fondue set or anything?
I don't know. Bob, do I?
Is there any a 10 bob?
I haven't got any merch with my face on, unfortunately, but I'll work on it.
Haven't you actually got a Leon Osmond shirt, though, from your birthday?
Good point, actually. You can have that.
I think I should want that.
You can have it if you want.
Yeah, if we do make it big, we'll get a suitcase with Leon Osmond's face on it. That's what it is. Or what you call like the whiskey thing? I always think that one's good. Like
the canter.
Yeah.
What's Sean going to do with Pepsi Max in that?
That'd be nice, though.
Yeah, it would be.
They always say, don't they, like Coke and Pepsi are better out of glass decanters? So.
I'll see what I can do. I'll be in charge of this.
Yeah.
Sponsor the pod.
And we're still waiting for Ambrosia for the other week, so
it's a battle. First come, first serve.
That's a good slogan for both of them as well. Especially Ambrosia.
See, this is what you get, guys.
Right then, so Maroons 5 then. As always, we're going to look back at last week. So last week were our firework footballers. Footballers who shone brightly, but briefly. And our winner, quite surprisingly, I thought, was Mido. So Sean took it, which I think it was a very good... I'd like to think it was people persuaded by his arguments. I thought he put forward a very good argument. So just Sean just can't stop winning at the moment. Oh, he's got the Midas touch. It's about six things in a row, this. And like, I can take it. I take it well, these sorts of things. So yeah, I'm really glad for him. This week... In a quite peculiar turn of events, we decided that we were going to do an ode to Arsenal, Chelsea, and maybe one of the biggest referee howlers, Andre Marinesse, sending off the wrong person. We were going to look at referee howlers. And we've now had the news filming on Monday that Mr. Coote has been caught dropping truth bombs about a certain Mr. Klopp. So, yeah, we're going to also link it to there. So I don't know, is the obvious one Miss David Coote's howler, or is it still Andre Mariner's
howler? That's not a howler.
It is a bit of a howler. He's probably lost his job on the back of it. Like, so.
Yeah, only speaking truth.
He's a big boo-boo, that. I still think Andre Mariner should be.
Yeah, well, we can have either.
On pitch incidents.
Yeah, sure, because he was factually incorrect, whereas Coote is factually correct about Klopp, isn't he?
He's being done over by the system because the system can't think the truth. That's the problem.
That's
exactly.
True. So yeah, in honour of that, we're going to look at referee and howlers, and we're trying to avoid just like bad decisions. We're trying to talk about like really famous sort of, different moments, howlers. So we're going to see what the lads have come up with. We're going to obvious Andre Mariner sending off. Was it, I can't remember, did he send off Oxlade-Chamberlain when it was Gibbs or the other way around?
No, he sent off Gibbs, yeah.
Yeah. Easy mistake to make, as I've just shown. Anyone like to go first? Not Bob. Callum, you can go first.
Okay. I will go back to 2005 for my referee howler from, he might call himself the celebrity referee, Mark Clattenburg. Big game at Old Trafford. There was a shot from around the halfway line from Pedro Mendes. Which looped over looping towards the keeper. He went to catch it, but his excuse is that he was thinking of throwing it out quickly to Gary Neville. He ended up spilling the ball behind him and clambering back towards his own goal to try and stop it from going into the net. It crossed the line by, I don't know, maybe about 2 or 3 yards. But he managed to somehow fool Clattenburg and thinking that he actually scooped it off the line. And I think the look on Roy Carroll's face as he does it and gets back up to kind of shock that the referee's kind of playing on, I think is great. And it's just a huge, huge howl. I think we might be like the last generation-ish of sort of football watchers, football fans, without kind of technology in the game. Maybe like the last generation to kind of not want it in the game, at least. But I always remember that moment kind of being a big moment and a big call for like goal line technology. It was like it was a huge like scandal. I think we were in year seven at the time. Yeah. We were only quite young. And I just remember that being like all over the papers and stuff. And obviously there wasn't social media then like there was now. But I seem to remember at the time that being massive, and how big that was. And I think the whole thing of being at Old Trafford and in favour of Man United and like kind of referee making a mistake like that, it was kind of the whole, you know, conspiracy towards favouring United and the big clubs. But yeah, what an absolute terrible, terrible, terrible decision. I think everybody knew it across the line, everyone, apart from the one person who needed to know, which was Mark Clattenburg, absolute howler. But I think it kind of fits his whole persona, his whole kind of thing of it would have been him, the one with the big story, the big name, the big event, the celebrity referee himself. But yeah, I think the repercussions of that incident possibly sort of made a big difference in English football. So in terms of actually the importance of a moment and such a big howler, I will go Mark Clattenburg 2005 for the Mendes goal that wasn't.
The only criticism I've got of that there is that I'm very surprised of all his howlers you've gone for that one.
I think it was the biggest nationally, wasn't it? Obviously, there's plenty that we would suggest, Bob.
Yeah, with it being you suggesting it as well, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Have you got one of them as well, Bob?
No, I haven't, actually.
But just think of 15, 20 years later, he was the referee on Gladiators. So
maybe he's the real winner.
Yeah, he is the celebrity ref, isn't
he? He is.
I always remember, I was just looking then, because I remember that night driving home and Everton had played that night. And I remember like listening to like, it must have been 6:06 or a phone in anyway. It was a national phone and not one of the local ones. And everyone just talking about it, because I assume that game must have been on telly. Because everyone was like, had seen it and just talking about it. And like one of them, we like, you get in and there was a midweek match the day and you couldn't wait to see it, sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I just looked, it was the Everton beat Portsmouth. It was the night, if you remember, Osman scored like a late deflector goal.
Yeah,
it was that night. But I didn't know it was that night, I just checked that. But yeah, I just
all,
say
it's all linked with Leon Osman.
It is, yeah. I think my memory of that is like, see it now, is like the line's been sort of scurrying backwards, like you're seeing the shot, like trying to sort of see it, and you think he probably should have seen it more than Clattenburg, really, you think, from the angle he must have had. But I think because he's trying to run back so fast. But as you say, I think it is that sort of like Carroll's face gives it away, doesn't he? You look at Carroll's face.
Not, yeah, you know, like, definite goal.
But yeah, it is that. It does, it just at that time, especially, like, it was like the height of Ferguson, wasn't it? It did, as you mentioned, just played into that sort of everything. Man United just get everything. I reckon it was around the time where, like, United hadn't had a penalty against them at Old Trafford for, like, years and years and years. That whole thing of, especially a club like Tottenham. Tottenham never go and win there. I know they have won a couple of times since, but at that point, probably hadn't won there for years and years. Like, that was a chance to win it. But yeah, I think that's a good shout. It definitely falls into the category of a howler rather than bad decision. Because Clattenburg would have a lot of bad decisions, as Bob alluded to.
Don't even want to get into it. I'll get angry.
Anyone else? Any other thoughts before we move it on?
I can link in maybe and take over.
Well, funnily enough, Bob's just offered to link in, and I actually also think mine would link in as well. So if you want to, I'm happy waiting. Mine could definitely wait.
I think if Bob's what I think it is, I think Bob's is a better link.
Yeah, okay. So we'll go to Bob then, and we can all talk about how ours links to the Callum's one to start us off. Go on, Bob.
I'm trying to think of how Sean's would.
I can't remember what Sean's was, so.
So I'll go down the foul route, and if you were to Google this incident, it comes up with headlines such as the worst foul in Premier League history, and it's very hard to disagree with it, really. So I'm going back to August 2006, and the two names involved are Ben Thatcher and Pedro Mendes, and I think everybody listening should remember that quite vividly, really. For those who don't, Ben Thatcher essentially just charges straight into Pedro Mendes with his elbow, knocks him unconscious. There were complaints to Greater Manchester Police. Harry Redknapp said, as soon as I saw him running into the corner, I knew what was coming. I would have bet my life on it. He had that reputation of being absolutely feral, a horrible footballer, and usually when terrible fouls do happen and players get seriously injured, they'll come out and say he's not that kind of player, but Ben Thatcher really was. He was an absolute thug of a player, and probably will go down as one of the dirtiest players in Premier League history. So I think it speaks for itself, really. He only got a booking for the challenge, but thankfully it was upgraded following the game to an 8-match suspension, which probably doesn't really do it justice anyway. A Portsmouth player say, how can that not be a sending off? What do you have to do? Kill someone? And he probably wasn't far off actually killing Pedro Mendes that day. So for the referee to not see how severe it was, because often referees will just see how injured a player is and just base the judgment off, oh, he's seriously injured here. It must have been a terrible foul. I just can't believe that he didn't come to the conclusion that he must have done something absolutely disgusting to him. So I'll go for the incident involving Ben Thatcher and Pedro Mendes. The referee in question is one of Sean's lookalikes in Dermot Gallagher.
I'd googled Dermot Gallagher, and the funny thing is, if he was on that ref watch and he'd seen it now, he'd actually say the referee got it right for a yellow card, because he doesn't disagree with anything they ever say. He'd actually say, I can see that people could, but I actually think that I'd stick with the referee there. Absolutely melt him. But I just think
shocking.
I just watched it again because I do love seeing it, to be honest. I think it's great. I think yellow card was fair, but the way, like, he's just like sprawled on the advertising boards, isn't he, Mendes? Like, just like, how can you see that? And you see like Thatcher running in, as you said, like he comes in like fully, like as if he's gonna punch him, and just goes with the elbow instead. How on earth that you can't see it for, like, it's just unbelievable. But great watching. Poor Pedro.
That's surprising me, that Tosh, that you're a fan of that.
No, and yeah,
it's not... very anti-football. Like, if you know what I mean, because like, he's just a big bully. Like, I hate footballers like him.
Do you know? He did have that reputation as well, and nobody came out saying he's not that kind of player like he did with Son when he ended Andre Gomez's career. Needed to sprinkle that in there.
To defend myself, in case any new listeners are listening.
Don't worry about that.
It's more the sort of like the Thatcher sort of, like, he sort of gets up and like, he's like, yeah, come on, you know, what's he gets to doing there? You're right, I don't like that sort of thing, but I do sort of respect it. I like that. Like, imagine being that violent on the pitch and getting away with it.
But it's also, in fairness to you, it's all right looking back 20 years later when you know he's okay. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, if that happened tonight and you were buzzing off it, I'd be a bit worried. But,
yeah,
you know, it was all happy in the end, wasn't it?
I just love the Barclays, you know that. And all I'm trying to think how close were them two things. Obviously, he was playing for Portsmouth, Pedro Mendes. So I wonder how, like, he must have just thought the English refs had it in for him, mustn't he?
Yeah, unless Ben Thatcher's like a mate of Roy Carroll's or something. And he just thought, don't you embarrass my mate.
You embarrass my friend on national telly. I think it's a good shout. I do, again. I think it's probably like one of the ones that say, obviously, a terrible, terrible decision, but it also definitely is a howler as well. So, yeah, I think it definitely works. But there's pressure on me and Sean now to both do ones involving Pedro Mendes, which I wasn't prepared for.
No, was I.
The M5 is referees and not... biggest Pedro Mendes moment, isn't it?
You could do a couple of screamers from Pedro Mendes if you wanted.
Yeah, well, he scores them too. Is it against Man City? Is that the same season where, like, that might have been the year Portsmouth rival come back and he puts two, like, late on? I don't know if that's the same season against Man City, like, two brilliant goals. But yeah, less probably too much talk about Pedro Mendes so far, I'd say.
Barclays win though.
Yeah, 100% he is. Sean, do you want to go next? Is there still a link for yours or not really?
No, I'll be honest, mine was a very tenuous link. Mine wasn't necessarily player related. It was more why I think the decision was given. in that Callum's is obviously at Old Trafford. It's against United. It would very much make United look stupid. It was that kind of decision. And I think that massively would sway the officials. And I think in my example, I think it's the same based on the name, based on the teams involved. I think if it was the other way around, it probably wouldn't be given. So I will go back 15 years to the day, in fact. 18th of November, 2009, at the Stade de France, Ireland against France in a World Cup qualifier. So obviously ready for the 2010 World Cup. And obviously this was kind of like a bit of a, I don't want to say golden generation, but Ireland were in a fairly good position at this point, 2010. So they've still got like fairly solid team. They've got like Robbie Keane, you've got Shea Given. They're all like, I know, I'm not kind of name that many, but they're a solid team as far as Irish teams go. Obviously,
Richard Dunn.
Would he still been playing then? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Damien Duff.
Kevin he Doyle. Sat on the pitch with him, Dunn, isn't he? The person you're talking about. That's the thing I sort of remember. Richard Dunn sort of sat with him, isn't he?
And keeping up appearances of legend, Kevin Kilbane also playing that day. So obviously, not been in the World Cup since 2002, still to this day haven't been, so a big deal for Ireland. They go into that game fairly level, end up extra time with still a game kind of hanging in the balance, and then the heartbreak comes where they concede very late on to, was it an own goal? They go down as an own goal.
Gallas put it in. Gallas put it in, but
I think on the commentary it says Gallas, but then I think there's also implications. Oh, it is Gallas. I think there was an implication that it might be a Paul McShane own goal. So it goes in. Straight away, the Ireland players are waving their hands in the air as if to say handball. But the man in question, and this is where my link comes in, the man in question is Thierry Henry, the kind of golden boy of English football, the goody two shoes, the man who never done anything wrong. Kind of like everyone loved Thierry Henry. Not many people that didn't like Thierry Henry. He's the one who the claims to have handballed it. And obviously the referee either doesn't see it or isn't sure in this like split second, gives the goal, and that ends up knocking Ireland out and kind of destroying their World Cup hopes. Obviously, still never really got near since.
And never really recovered from the
controversy. No, I mean, they're still crying about it now, aren't they?
I don't blame it. It's like Everton, really.
Well, yeah, I know, and they're losers as well.
Yeah.
So the thing where I was saying about like where I think the problem is, obviously, I genuinely think if it wasn't Henry, I think the officials there might be thinking, Henry wouldn't do that. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if it's that simple, but he isn't that kind of player. He's good enough that he doesn't need to use his hands. I don't know, I just think he might have been a bit unsure, and also because it's France against Ireland, you're going to give the benefits out to the bigger team, aren't you? The bigger country. So I think that all goes against Ireland. It got to the point where, obviously, straight after the game, Omni's admitted it to loads of players, to the media and everything. And the Irish FA wants a replay. But then, from what I read, they kind of got made into a bit of a laughing stock because Sepp Blatter comes out at a press conference and goes, yeah, they've asked for a replay. Almost like laughing at them.
Him to say that as well, the dodgiest fella ever.
Exactly.
Is a bit of a kick in the teeth, isn't it?
Good laugh, though.
So the two people who were against him was Sepp Blatter and Roy Keane, because he was slagging them off as well. With the whole of Ireland up in arms, and obviously, I probably still to this day hate Thierry Henry, but I think the implications of that are huge for France and Ireland, because you think if that goal's not given, Ireland could go on to win that game, could get to a World Cup. They might not
win the World Cup.
They might have done. Never know. But they would have got to World Cup. They're kind of, the course of their history might change a little bit. In the same way, if that goal's not given, France don't make it to the 2010 World Cup and don't become the laughing stock of world football that they were, when they all, obviously they had the big falling out with the manager, and Elche got sent home. Ever goes on strike. It was just embarrassing. And you think, don't get me wrong, it might have helped them to then end up winning the World Cup years later, but I think that goal could change so much of football history. And it's also so blatantly obvious what's happened as well. He actually handballs it twice. That I just think it's a shocking decision and one that has huge implications, for, not just for them two teams as well, for like world football. So I think as far as howlers go, that's a pretty big one. And one of the things mad as well is I didn't even know the referee's name. You know, you think normally with like a decision like that, you'd have the ref's name in your head.
You think of Henri's blatant cheating before the referee, don't you, really?
Yeah, and obviously that Henri's cheating is the cause of it, but you've also got that referee who's making that call, and I'd genuinely never heard of him before.
Was it Macron?
That'll sound good, that. His name was Martin Hansen, a Swedish...
Song of the week.
Yeah, get in.
Well, I was just about to say, though, about remembering names... taking away the obvious Mr. Kalina, who we'll not get into now because I don't want to start Bob off, how many foreign refs could you name in general?
Well, no, but that's kind of what I think, like, when you say howler.
You already had a Sean lookalike as well, Tosh.
I mean, most of them look like me. That's the problem, isn't it?
Uriah Rennie.
I wish. Looks like Callum. Yeah, I think that's half the problem, though. Talking about the David Coote stuff as well, the thing that always bothers me is these decisions. Don't get me wrong, it's Thierry Henry's fault, but these referees almost go under the radar. They don't take the blame for it, and they should. They should be held accountable for done and just pull their hands up and go, oh, yeah, got that one wrong, but I've never heard that fella before, and I should have, because it was a huge decision that we still talk about, and I know the Irish people still talk about 15 years later.
Reed. And his brother Alan kept up being able to work on a match of the day. Any other thoughts before we move on and wrap it up? Right, I'm going to link my link to Callum's one was because Callum coined the phrase celebrity ref when talking about Mark Clattenburg. It definitely applies, but I reckon in 2005... the man who thought he was the celebrity ref was definitely Graham Pohl, who, again, could have a catalogue of contenders for this. But I think this list would be... I think it wouldn't be as reliable as a source if we didn't have his incident from the 2006 World Cup. And it happened between Australia and Croatia, last group match, with a fair amount relying on it. And unfortunately, the decision, the one thing that takes it down is the decision actually didn't affect it too much because it didn't cost Australia. But as I'm sure everyone knows, he famously booked Mr. Simunic, Josip Simunic, I don't remember his first name, 3 times. I just think it's great because you book him obviously once, he only books him in the 61st minute. And then he books him in the 90th. And obviously, I can't pretend I remember watching it at the time, but everyone's probably thinking when he first spots, he's booked him twice and not sent him off. You're probably thinking, oh, it's annoying that because he's not going to get away with it. And, you know, the story's going to be he's booked him twice and not sent him off. But then the fact he actually books him a third time just to compound it and then sends him off, I think makes it even better. But yeah, I think just in that big thing, and it's also great. For some reason, I was thinking about this before. I've actually read, I don't know if he's got more than one. I read Graham Pohl's book for some reason when I was younger. I don't know why. Like, and I'm talking like when I'm 16, 17. I don't know whether I got given it or asked for it. But I've actually read this book.
You were cool.
The internet really is wasted on you, Tosh.
Yeah,
I know. I'm not going to say it's the book, Tosh's book club, because I don't want to give him any more credit. He'll love that, but... I just remember like everything he comes across as such like a smarmy, like everything about it. I remember him talking about like when he was like retiring, I think his last game was at Anfield, and he says something like, I wanted to wait till the ball was in front of the cop just so I could have that last thing. And he said, and at the end, the cop cheered because Liverpool had won. But I think deep down, they knew that I was retiring and that was for me. I just think, like, what are you talking about? And he often says in 2006, he said he thinks he would have refereed, certainly gone to like semi-final or final if it wasn't for that, because obviously England went out it in the quarters. But again, probably based on very little. I just think, I think when Callum spoke about celebrity refs, I think no one's more than Graham Pohl. And in his book, was just constantly saying, I got this wrong. And there was about 4 or 5 instances against Everton. Famously, he's the one when... the fella kicked, Sander Westerveld kicks it. Is it Don Hutchinson? It hits back over his head. Yeah. That's him. Then when he blew up, and again, like no blame attached to him there for that. But yeah, I just think Just
that's
a
why.
Very...
That's why the cop applauded in his last game.
Maybe he did, yeah. But yeah, I think it just couldn't happen. Then he said like he was a laughing stock then, and rightly so. And as Sean says, he's just that he needed to be derided for that because again, just. That's an easy part of your job, surely, isn't it? Just keeping a track. You've got a list of all the numbers and things like that. Just count up. You've got two or three times. And yeah, I'm made up that that's how he's remembered because I think he just comes across a divvy. And I think, to be honest, most refs come across like that these days. Like yeah. They're all seen to be. And I don't know, it's just that thing, the way you look at them. I think every ref has got that. You think the same about Michael Oliver and Anthony Taylor and all people like that, the big ones. But he was, I can't like say at the time, so it was probably before, you know, when 2005, 2006, his career was pretty much over. We would have been 11, 12, and you can't like say that then, oh, he was a great referee, the way you might say someone like Howard Webb, despite his mistakes, was probably quite a good ref. All you sort of remember him for is that three yellow cards, and I think it's great. So, yeah, but any other thoughts on that?
I was going to say, like, I don't really... I can remember watching and stuff, and I probably couldn't bring it back to my memory now what happened around it, but I don't understand that. Like, maybe this did happen, but the other players, managers, everyone, how did that just not, like, even the linesmen, because surely they record it, or the four officials, they record what's happening.
Yeah.
Like, how did it just not get brought to attention? Like, unless it just really did have that second one, I don't know, maybe just happened too quickly and it kind of, the game was gone.
Well, I think the third one, that basically comes after the final whistle, so it actually has no effect. So, like, it wasn't really like he was sent off. But I was reading on Wikipedia before, it says, like, someone says about the lines when she got it, and Graham Pohl sort of says, no, all the blame's on me. You know, again, like, trying to sort of, even that annoyed me more, to be honest, as well. Just like, sort of, but you're right, Callum, like, everyone's recording everything these days as a fourth official, isn't there? Like, how no one sort of spotted that. I read somewhere something that I'm going in front of me that, like, I think Simunic had very good English. I think he was like, might have had like sort of an English speaking grown up. So they were saying like, because they were playing Australia, his accent might not have sounded as Croatian or something. That was what someone was trying to make up an excuse for him. But as you say, it's quite easy. The numbers are on the back of the kit with his name, aren't they? So you'd like to think that that shouldn't be happening. But
well, I was going to say, Tosh, you know, you said about, I think you think all refs have got that kind of like, they love themselves. Were you talking about like, top level or just every ref in the world?
Every ref in the world.
Top level, like,
because they're not, like every ref that refs you on a Sunday league is just a big div.
I think like I'm quite a teacher's pet to referees, and I play like I feel sorry for them. But
why?
It's all you've got is just 20 fellas just abusing you for 90 minutes, haven't they? Like appealing for like throw-ins, and like because you've got a throw-in wrong, you're like screaming at some fella in the middle of the pitch who's usually like 60.
But what you have to remember, though, Tosh, is the reason they do it.
To do that.
It's because they want a bit. They want, for the first time in their lives, they want to like have a bit of control and a bit of power. You're like they want to. They want a ref that I've like had or watched, and they're just like they're just big idiots who probably got bullied in school, and then all of a sudden they can like tell people what to do, and they love it. That's what they want.
You're getting sent off in the Christian League, Sean. So. You were the bad boy of the Christian League when you got sent off, weren't you?
Well, that's true.
Who was that gimp in school that had run round with the pretend to give yellow cards to people?
With his calculator?
He was he the one who was next to Tosh reading Graham Paul's book?
Possibly,
yeah. I left him.
He was a ghostwriter on it.
He used the calculator as a bookmark.
I think you're being a bit harsh on referees there.
Yeah,
as well,
I do.
Honest.
I'm talking about the top level ones.
You get a few
I'm very
that
much on your side, Sean.
You get a few that are like that, but at the end of the day, they're just trying to do something. And how hard it must be of a job is unbelievable. It would be the worst thing in the world for 90 minutes.
How was it?
It isn't.
No?
You're like 22 lads just shouting abuse at you for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
And worse as well.
And what? You can't change my decision, so don't worry about it.
And then, like, you know, they're doing it without a linesman and stuff like that, aren't they?
Gosh, I've refereed school footy, been there.
It's hard, though.
It isn't.
It is.
I used to love it when the parents would shout from the side. I used to love it.
Yeah, you're exactly what they think. You're like the showman, aren't you? You're like the...
maybe, actually.
You're the celebrity ref.
Most important man on the football pitch, Sean.
Yeah, well said. There's no game without them, isn't that right, Callum?
And that's why they do it.
Correct.
And they go home to the wife and go, mum, and go, hey, I booked someone today. Oh, well done, Colin.
Lose. What do you reckon he said that the referee said when he sent you off?
Yeah, just said the world's worst footballer off today.
The biggest boots.
He tried to kick the ball and kick the player.
I was going to go originally, but I thought I had to go Graham Poole. There's Clive Thomas, another famous celebrity ref, and him disallowing a goal in the World Cup. And also, but you could link to a terrible decision against Everton as well, but we won't get into that now. But yeah. Right then, I believe, Sean, you have the honours of getting rid of one.
So, I do, wanna...
do you want me to read through the options quickly for you to get rid of them? So we've obviously got obvious Gibbs and Chamberlain being mistaken for one another. Graham Poole, three yellows. Mark Clattenburg with the Roy Carroll goal or no goal. Ben Thatcher and Dermot Gallagher. And then Thierry Henry. So you're obviously not going to get rid of Thierry Henry, I assume.
Correct.
And are you going to not get rid of the obvious as well?
Yeah, I'll leave the obvious one in.
So go on then.
What was yours again? Sorry, Tosh.
Yeah, three yellow cards.
Oh, yeah. Right, so I'll be honest.
Doesn't bode well.
No, it does. The one I was... the first one that came to my mind was the Graham Poole one, just because it's so iconic. And as you say, ended the career of like England's like number one ref. So like it's pretty huge. Obviously not going to get rid of mine. And then it comes to the battle of Pedro Mendes. We can't have two Pedro Mendes in the poll.
You've got Poole in the poll though.
We do. Yeah. I like
well,
that.
The Graham Poole from this week onwards.
Yeah, because we haven't got enough stupid names and stuff, have we?
He'd be the one to sue us as well.
I get a mention in the next book.
Tell him I'm giving. I gave him the only £10.50 he got in his whole career from them books.
I think I am going to get rid of Pedro Mendes v. Ben Thatcher. Only because I don't know. I think all of ours involve kind of like game changing decisions.
It was nearly a life changing decision, you dickhead. he nearly killed him.
Are you related to Pedro Mendes or something?
You're not telling
about it. Yeah, I don't know. I just think getting a tackle wrong, as much as like obviously it is a really bad tackle.
That's not a tackle. That wasn't a tackle. It was an elbow to the head.
Assault. But thank I just you. Think getting. Yeah, getting a tackle wrong, it doesn't kind of hold the same weight as especially the Pedro Mendes, like the goal it was, obviously. The fact that it was like a worldie as well. Well, it wasn't because he caught it, but you know what I mean.
Should we try and get Pedro Mendes on the blower and see what he was more annoyed by, the elbow to the head or the slad goal?
I bet you he doesn't remember Ben Thatcher's tackle. I bet you.
I bet he's looked back on it and said, oh, that was dead fucking painful.
Go ahead. Anyway. Yeah, Pedro Mendes and Ben Thatcher are out.
Okay, then, decision stands. When you win as many things as Sean, you get the deciding vote, you need to start winning. I feel mine was too obvious, though. I feel like, yeah, I don't really take much pride in getting in there. But anyway, so, as always, get yourself over to X and vote in the Graham Poole. We have Roy Carroll and his goal. Sorry, I've distracted myself with Graham Poole
there. Ah, I that. But then the Graham Poole and then someone else in his goal. Bars, Tosh.
I could do actually. I might do it all around. I'll just do the whole thing again. Okay, then, as always, get yourself over to X and vote in the Graham Poole for the biggest referee howlers. We have the obvious one of Andre Marin. Oh, no. I can't say Graham Poole.
Oh, that's Ben Thatcher back in then.
Because I can see Sean as well. Sean's laughing when I say Graham Poole.
I was honestly going to cover my camera. Oh, sorry, Tosh. yeah, you've done Graham Poole. I'll edit that in.
Oh, okay, yeah. So I just need to say the four options. Yeah, that's easy, yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm still thinking about it. I've got Poole on the mind. Right then.
Can someone cut that? I've got Poole on the mind.
Please don't, Sean. Please don't.
Leave that in, send that round school.
Our four options for biggest referee and howlers are Andre Mariner sending off Kieran Gibbs rather than Oxlade-Chamberlain, Thierry Henry's handball not being given to knock Ireland out the World Cup or to fail to qualify, Clattenburg failing to spot the Pedro Mendes as goal was over the line, and lastly, Graham Poll giving Simunic three yellow cards. Right then, on to the game of the week. Sean?
It's international again, isn't it? Yep, so let's pick some games. I've actually had a bit of an idea where rather than giving us a country, I was thinking of getting the rankings up from like the FIFA rankings and you give me a number.
Oh, that's a good idea.
And then whatever that number is, we pick that team.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea.
So though, let's go. I reckon we go up to 50.
Oh, no.
All right. 40. There's some good teams under 40.
Okay.
Right. So we've decided, obviously, we're all really happy that it's internationals, as you can tell. So
it does mean another week away from Everton, though, to be fair.
Yeah, that's a good point. So we've decided we're going to switch it up a little bit, and rather than picking any matches or teams, what I've done is I have got the FIFA world rankings up and all of us are going to pick a number. Right. Go on, Rob. Can you give me a number between 1 and 40, please?
23.
23 is Austria. Yeah, that's not good. Right, Cal.
8.
8 is Netherlands. Tosh.
I feel like we should go close to the 40 boundary, but I'm really worried that I don't really know any Austrian players, so oh, we'll risk it. We'll go 30.
30 is Egypt.
Oh dear.
Should we actually change that, though? Imagine if we can't.
No, leave that in. It'd be funny. Say Mohamed Al-Fayed or something.
I mean, I only know 3 Egyptian players. No, 4. I know 4. I'm sad.
Yeah, but they were all mentioned last week.
Yeah, that's sad. That's what we need. So, obviously, there's no games to talk about. We're not going to talk about who Egypt are playing. So, let's get all of those teams into the wheel. Right, time to spin and see who we're playing with this week. Fingers crossed, it's Netherlands. And it is Austria, which is genuinely terrible for me.
That's a tough one, though.
I wanted to say Ibrahim Saeed. I just say him for Austria. He was on Everton's books for a bit. I'm going to say him for Austria.
I already know I'm going for Austria.
I think I only know one player.
You don't.
Well, he was great in the last Euros. But I can't remember any of the players. Does the Fet mean? Yeah, go on, just get a number, Sean. Because...
Okay, so Austrian players who have played between 1 and 150 games. This should be fun. Our number this week is 53. 53 times for Austria.
I've just realised I've read a book about the Austrian team recently in the 20s and 30s. So I've read a couple from that.
Yeah.
The Wonder Team, as they were known, Sean.
Can you tell me one of them, please?
No, because I only actually remember one at this stage, so...
Right, now, does anybody have a song that they would like to play? Oh, so I don't know any Austrians. Or could they have something to do with, I don't know.
Conchita Wurst was Austrian.
Yeah.
I preferred the one the year after. Austria's had the one the year after where they lit the piano on fire. That was a good song.
Where's Alexander Rybak from?
Norway.
West Derby, isn't he?
In fact. Ew. Oh, I think the year before, wasn't it Dima Bilan? Wasn't he Austrian?
I don't know.
I'm sure he was. 2 weeks of X Factor now on Eurovision.
Could they have a referee? Who's most likely to be a referee?
Who's a big grass?
Ed Sheeran. Call the shots by Girls Aloud.
Oh,
that's a good shout.
Uriah, Rennie and Renato. What did Rennie and Renato sing?
Was it
to save all your love or something?
Yeah, save your love for me. Save your love. That one. Yeah.
Uriah Rennie and Renato, it is. That's it. We just do puns on referees.
Can't think of any more.
Mark Clattenburg.
Truly Bobby Madley deeply.
I like it.
It's gotta be.
He's drawing a dog.
Truly Anthony Madley deeply.
What?
Isn't there an Anthony Madley as well? Is there two?
Yeah. I think his brother's a
wrestler. Oh, yeah.
I'd do that. Just cut Sean's out and just have mine.
Yeah, but you can't have the dog bothering if you don't mention Bobby.
He's drawing a dog. He's obsessed.
Jeff Winter.
Oh,
Winter
yeah.
Wonderland.
Jeff Winter.
It's nearly Christmas, isn't it?
I mean, there's an Oasis link with David Gallagher, isn't there?
Too easy.
Yeah.
Too easy. Life of Mike Riley.
Yeah, oh, great time. Football linked as well, Max today.
Football link, yeah. We're going to have to go with one of them. Yeah.
Uriah Rennie and Renato.
Yeah, let's go with the worst one.
But maybe the best pun. Maybe the best sort of answer smash.
I agree. So let me just.
We don't know the song. We can't encourage people. Every song we've picked has been great, John. We can't encourage to pick a bad song.
You what?
We can't encourage people to pick a bad song. We don't know the Rennie and Renato one that well. I know that's.
Just Googling it. I'm sure it's called Save Your Love.
I said something about Save All Your Love or Save Your Love.
Save Your Love, yeah.
It's a bit. I didn't like it. It's a bit like.
Why are you suggesting it then?
I should say Rennie and Renato, but right, you know, Raya Rennie.
Right, I made my decision. We're gonna go with Life of Mike Riley.
Yeah, good call.
That's
why you're the boss. I'm sure someone's gonna go. Well, no, they're probably not. Cause I mean, the striker. Who still play? Was playing the Euros, and the other fellow who plays in Germany. I can't think of anyone else.
Yeah, I'm sure. I would have assumed they're closer to that other number we had than they are for this one.
Do you reckon? Yeah.
The
main first one will be. I'm not sure about the second one. But
can you do me a favor and leave them free? Because I don't have a player.
I've got one. I mean, I can mention my book of the week, so I can mention a new book, so I don't have to pick Graham Pohl's book now. So. You get two ends of the spectrum with my book club show, and you get what about the Austrian team from the 20s and Graham Pohl talking about all of his decisions. I say, Jamie, I'm done because I can't think.
Yeah, I've got two players, so just
I'm done. I think I've got. Yeah.
Please keep them free for me.
I think you should go last, Sean, because you've won the episode so far.
That's true. You've got to put the pressure on his champion these days, isn't he?
Yeah.
I don't know. No. Like, all right, well, I have to score zero then.
Well, I can go last because I know for a fact no one will pick man. Which also means I can go first as well. So.
Right. We all got one?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to go first, if that's all right.
Yeah, just go with it. Go on,
Okay, just because honestly, like I've got nobody. This is
really, sorry, your life, Sean.
This is not. At least I wasn't reading Graham Pohl books. Honestly. I'm torn because I've got two players. I think one of them is the captain, and the other one's been there years. So I am gonna go for. He's definitely played more. I'll go for Alaba. He's definitely played well more. Like, an insane amount more.
He was one of the two I was thinking of, and I was thinking he'd be over 100.
He's got to be. But then the other one...
injury-prone, though, but yeah, I have to agree. I think that's got to be more. But yeah, he's like, certainly the last few years have been very injury-prone, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's still definitely more, isn't he? But yeah, go on, I'll have to
do that. Which is why I was thinking it was definitely easy, the higher number.
But yeah. I'll mention the higher number because it will be getting edited out.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Would anyone like to go next?
I'll go next then.
Okay.
I'll go next because I'm not sure mine's the Austrian. But I think he is. And he's one of the great football memes, the originator of the great football memes where the fan in the stands realizes his name. Christian Fuchs, I'm gonna go for. You can put the meme on the Twitter, Sean, if you want.
I've never seen that meme.
I've seen, are they playing Bournemouth or someone? And he's taking a throw in, and it's like some lad, and he's sitting with his mate or whatever, and he kind of points at Christian Fuchs' name and kind of laughs and like mouths his name as Christian Fuchs. And he's like,
that does sound good, that's too fair.
Yeah, he looks like he would have read Graham Paul's autobiography as well. So I don't know. If we do put that content out, I'm sure he'll be in it. He'll be in the comments, but yeah, it was a good meme. He might not
it
be.
It wasn't really an autobiography, so
okay.
Just about his decisions, so back off.
Yeah, you're the real loser here, Cal.
Yeah, we hope he's Austrian. We'll see.
I've just checked, and he is Austrian, Callum. So I'll give you that one.
That's right.
You're in the game.
Get in.
Go on then, Bob. Do you want to go next?
I don't mind because if Tosh is saying, I definitely won't have got. I'll just do it anyway. First name that popped into my head immediately because we mentioned him almost every week, Paul Scharner.
I would not have known he was Austrian.
Neither would I.
Great job. I thought he was German. Great job, Bob.
Close enough.
And a bit controversial, yeah.
If a certain man would have had his way, they would have been the same country. Cut that out.
Is this you still being PC, Tosh?
Isn't an armistice day today as well?
Oh, no.
Very disrespectful.
They're not celebrating armistice day, are they? Not celebrating both sides, are we?
I wouldn't have thought so.
It's what Farage is doing.
That's James McLean's issue, isn't it?
Right then, the one who's the fella who plays in Germany, like it's like Baumgartner or something. Is he Austrian?
No idea.
He was playing. He was good in the Euros. I thought someone was going to go for him because I thought he was fairly common. I had two names that came to my head. One played against Everton in 1985. Hans Krankl. I think he was their superstar.
That is not a real name. No.
You ever heard of Hans Krankl?
That's a serial.
Hans Krankl.
The nursery rhyme.
He was like when Everton beat Rapid Vienna in 1985. He was their star player, he was supposed to be a brilliant player. And I think he may have scored. It was 3-1. I think he scores the goal. Again, he could be anything though. If he was the star player, he was playing a lot. I imagine he was playing a lot for Austria, who I don't think did too much. I think qualified in 78 and 82 for the World Cup. But I'm going to go for someone I might have mentioned, I'm not sure Sean will have edited it out. I just read a book about Austria's team with one of the first great football teams in the 20s and 30s called the Wunder Team, and their star player was called Matthias Sindelar, nicknamed the Paper Man. So what a great nickname. So again, I just think by the fact back then he probably weren't playing all sorts of internationals all the time. I imagine he played for about 8 or 9 years, but probably only played. He probably will be less, I reckon. Now, I was going to say there was an interesting story which links to the joke. Well, let's not say it was a joke. About what I just said about when Hitler took over Austria, he refused to play like Germany and Austria put their teams together. So in 1938, when they went to the World Cup, Germany tried to take Germany and Austria as a team because Austria were the better footballing side. And he was one of the few Austrian players who refused to go and play for Germany. And then he died suspiciously, him and his wife or girlfriend, they were found dead. And a lot of people, there's a myth that he was killed. But a bit of a somber one to end it. But
what was the name of the... Yes, what was the funny name before?
What was the funny name?
Hans Krankl.
Yeah, just to lighten the mood of it.
And then he had a fairy tale called Hans Krankl, and then someone called Sindelar. He's also sounds like a fairy tale. Why was he called a paper man?
I don't know. And he was called something else, like, because obviously it's Mozart Austrian. I'm sure, isn't he? He had like a nickname of something like the Mozart of football or
How many appearances did Mozart make?
Probably fewer than Alaba.
He was the third. Guess he was third on my list. Mozart.
Czech Rumpelstiltskin as well.
But yeah, so I'm gonna go Sindelar, but that'll be one of the most sophisticated answers that's been on Keeping Up Appearances, I reckon. Yeah. That'll get me on another podcast. That's going to get me on that podcast, that answer.
I also like the one I sent you, it's called the Adamola Buchman.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. To be honest, I mean, I don't know, they'd be like, I didn't enjoy the book, it was a bit boring, but...
You're joking.
Nah, it's just telling, yeah.
The book about 1930s Austria was boring. Jesus.
But you've read of like some of the other teams, like there was a couple of good Austrian teams around then, like, but it was just listing results and things like that. You've read about the Matropa Cup and all that in the 20s and 30s. Boring, isn't it?
Yeah, we all
read
have,
too much. We've all read too much on that.
Yeah, we have.
I just need to check mine now.
Our bloody school day you spent doing that. Eh?
Yeah, I hope they make that one into a film, actually. Fingers crossed.
That story is always just quite good, actually. So.
Yeah, that is quite a good story, to be fair. Sad story, I mean. Possibly too sad for a joke football podcast, but yeah.
Nice. You've got to remember, Callum. It's the day of all days.
You have, to be fair, Tosh. You are right.
Results are in.
Quick.
Well, I've done the other three. I was just checking my house, doing them as you were saying them. Very quickly, then. So, in fourth position, probably quite unsurprisingly, not continuing his win and run, Sean. 105 appearances for David Alaba.
Yeah, I'm not even embarrassed there. I genuinely couldn't have got another name. So.
Yeah. I don't think there's any shame in being away out there. I think lots of people will have thought similar. 52 he was out there, so I think the other three are all pretty good guesses. So we've got the next one was Callum in third place, 25 appearances out. Christian Fuchs, 78. Again, I think a decent enough shout, though, because I certainly wouldn't. We've then, the next two are within three of each other. One was 10 out and one was 13 out, with 40 appearances, and 13 out was Paul Scharner, which means Matthias Sindelar, the paper man, as everyone knows him by, was with 43 appearances, 10 out. So,
fair play, Tosh. You know what? I paid off.
Good.
You being a hands crankled. Finally paid off.
Hands crankled. Let's see how many he made. Oh, I know he didn't exist. No, he did really. He was 16 out of 69, so that's still not a bad guess. But I would have lost with that one, so.
Yeah, fair play, Tosh. Well done. Right, so well done to Tosh there for very good victory. That almost felt deserved. I was happy to let me undefeated streak go on.
Yeah.
Tosh, who's obviously a student of the game in many ways, and obviously, he knew his stuff there. So in fourth place is Sean on 18. In third place is Callum on 24. On 36, and catching up to Bob, I would say, is Tosh. And then obviously Bob up top still on 41 points.
You're winning the games that matter, though, Sean.
That is true. And I'm winning the games that people listen to before they switch off.
True.
That's the main thing you have to remember.
So that is it for this week's Keeping Up Appearances podcast. You have made it to the end. Well done. We hope that means you enjoyed it. Please do tell a friend, tell family, and please keep interacting with us. We had a great game of Leon Osman's House of Games at the beginning. Absolute blinder from Bob. Only surpassed by Sean, who absolutely smashed it, by the way, with, I think, 6 out of 6. So massive well done to him. We then had a great Maroon 5 with some really good shouts. It was quite apt, to be fair. We did decide on this topic before the David Cook controversy came out today. So it was all quite good timing, and we thought we had some good discussion there. So please do head over to X to vote on our Graham poll. Make sure you do retweet it, share it if you can, and get your vote in to see who wins Maroon 5 for this week. And then we finished off with a very niche Keeping Up Appearances at the end to celebrate an international break with Austria. Tosh winning with Sindelar, the paper man, which, possibly one of the more out there answers for Keeping Up Appearances that we've had. So we hope you've enjoyed. Please do keep supporting, keep sharing, keep commenting, keep liking, keep interacting with us. We do hope to have some more guests coming on soon, which we hope you will enjoy. But until then, we will see you next week.
One thing I will say is, you know how, like, we had Pongol and then we had Solomon Kalou, and everyone said, you know what, they're proper Keeping Up Appearances guesses then. Where on the scale do you think Sindelar is?
It might be like too far the other way, possibly.
Yeah. I think so.
Unless we've got like a mad fan base in Austria somewhere.
Yeah, Paul Scharner should have won, really, shouldn't he?
Yeah, Paul Scharner was the Keeping Up Appearances answer.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And because I think about him on a daily basis, giving nightmares.